May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Hello, friends. It is good to be with you today. For those of you I haven't met yet, my name is Leah Romanelli de Jesus. I was your youth director from 2017 to 2020, and now I'm your seminarian. And thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for all of your prayerful support these last several years. And also congratulations, you did it, because I'm almost done. As of January 18th, I'm a candidate for Holy Orders, and I know that is because of the love and prayers and support I'm getting from all of you. At any time the bishop may decide to ordain me to the transitional diaconate, he'll let me know. Now, there is an app that I use on my phone sometimes to pass the time. Please don't judge me, but the app is TikTok. Now, TikTok is one of those apps on your phone where you think you've looked down for 30 seconds, when in reality, you have lost 30 minutes of your life. On TikTok, people post short videos, often doing silly or irreverent things, and then other people will copy those videos in a TikTok challenge. So the most recent one I saw was a TikTok challenge of a young toddler. He was about 18 months, maybe 20 months. He had a really good vocabulary for his age. But his mom set him up in his high chair, and she put 3 gummy worms on his tray in front of him. And then she told him, "Don't eat these. I will be right back, and then we'll eat the treat together." Then she went off camera, right out of his sight. And this poor little baby, his sweet face, he reached out, he rubbed the gummy worms between his little round fingers and placed them gently back on his tray. He gave a world-weary sigh, and he started to talk to himself. "Wait," he said, "wait for Mama." Then he looked around the room for her. "Mama," she called from off the camera, "I'll be right there, just wait for me." The baby fidgeted, his eyes were fixated on this candy. And finally he said, "No, Mama, no good." The worms started to inch their way up to his mouth. And right before the mom returned, he tossed them back down, and he said, "Heckin', Mama." Now, I have some reservations about manipulating a child around food. I hope you do too. But certainly this baby is relatable. With Lent upon us, we choose to live in tension with our temptations for the next several weeks. But why? Are we basically agreeing to participate in our own real-life TikTok challenge? Have we set ourselves up to be this manipulated toddler? I hope not. And actually, I think we can gain some clarity about the nature of temptation if we look at Jesus' conversation with the devil, the accuser, today. Initially, the way that in which Jesus is tempted by the accuser seems very specific to him, and like it probably doesn't have much to do with us. For example, after 40 days of fasting, the accuser tells Jesus that he could turn this stone into a loaf of bread if he really wanted to. There's no reason to go without, no need to feel deprived. No expectation that Jesus should live in hunger. But really, don't we all hunger? Don't we all yearn for something we don't have? Not just in our stomachs, but in our gut and in our heart. As individuals, maybe we hunger for the ability to feel contentment, even just for a day. Or to feel loved and known deeply by someone. What are you hungry for? What in life makes you yearn so deeply and desperately that it feels like you haven't eaten in more than a month? And where is God in that? The second lie the accuser tells is that if Jesus just turns to him and worships, the accuser will give him authority over all the nations of the world. He's playing into ambition and power here. For us, we might ask ourselves, what am I striving for? And how is it affecting the rest of my life? Is my ambition throwing any of my relationships out of balance? Because so often we tell ourselves, don't we, if I just make it to the next pay grade, or I get into the right college, or we just move into this specific house, then I'll have made it. I'll be able to organize my life in the way that I want to. I'll finally have enough. But how often is enough really enough? Isn't there always a next thing? I know there is for me. What keeps us from being content with what we have now? And church, how do we include God in the conversations we have about what we want from life? Finally, the accuser tells Jesus that nothing bad can ever happen to him because he is God's beloved and he'll be protected. This one is a little more complicated, but I think it boils down to this question. What do we believe about our safety because of our faith? Many prosperity gospel teachers will tell us that God wants good things for us, and as such, we just have to pray and we will receive. We just have to rely on God and we will always be safe. Just trust God's goodness and nothing bad will ever happen to us because we also are God's beloved. How's that working out for you? It's not for me. And that's the hard part, right? Because there is a grain of truth in it. We pray and we hope to receive. Sometimes we do and sometimes we do not. We pray and we hope we're safe. And sometimes we are. And sometimes we are not. If it were really true that faith in God could keep us safe, Jeannie Linebach never would have gotten cancer back in 2015. She's one of the most faithful people we all know. We wouldn't be in the middle of a pandemic, that's for sure. And thousands of Ukrainians wouldn't be fighting for their country and their lives. The hard news today, beloved, is that even though we are safe with God, God does not promise us safety. Neither does she let us hide from the world and everything that scares us. Because the same Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness today is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in each of us and is winding through this congregation even now. She is a comforter and an emboldener, and she is also a sustainer. It is the Holy Spirit that sustains Jesus in the wilderness, and she sustains us too, still today. The beautiful part of the lesson today, the good news that I hope we all take home, is that at every opportunity, Jesus could have used his infinite power as God to simply end the discussion with the devil. He could have just ended the devil. He also could have given in or fought back. But he doesn't. In the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus endures. He dives deep into the strength of his own humanity and he waits. Jesus doesn't make it out of the desert using his special God powers like some superhero. He makes it out of the desert as one of us. This right here is the reason we add practices to our Lenten devotions. It is not about performative deprivation. It is not another chance at New Year's resolutions. It is an opportunity to stare into the depths of our own humanity and see divinity. We are created in the image of God, the image of love. And when we look into the mirror of our souls, we will see some things we do not like. A lot of that will have to do with how we have responded to temptation in our lives. But if we keep looking, we will see the face of Christ reflected back, shining through, reminding us who we really are, and allowing us to try again, to atone, to reconcile with God, with ourselves, and with the world. And the face of Christ looking back is not critical or judgmental. Christ watches us with loving eyes as we navigate this messy, incarnated life that we are living, just as he did. I want to leave you with one final thought, church. Theologian Irenaeus had a theory of atonement, of salvation, that goes a little like this. Jesus saves humanity through becoming human, and he sanctified all of life's experiences as he experienced them himself. So when Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, he sanctified womanhood. And when Jesus died, he sanctified death. But that also means that when Jesus went through temptation, he also sanctified the experience of temptation. This is why we choose to live in tension with our desires during Lent. Not because we're proving something to God, and not because God has set us up to see if we fail like that poor baby in the TikTok video. We live in tension with temptation because it teaches us about our humanity. And there is strength in our humanity because there is strength in Christ's humanity. It is holy, it is sanctified, it is messy and hard and heartbreaking. Being incarnated is. But it is also beautiful. And this mix of difficult and beautiful is what is holy. Not the perfect house, not being able to control our circumstances. This struggle, right here, right now, is holy. And we are not safe. But we are also never alone, even in the wilderness. Amen.